Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Now you can grow five different fruit varieties from a single tree with the amazing fruit salad tree from Gardner's Collection. Imagine picking sugar-sweet purple plums in your own backyard, luscious peaches as big as your fist, tangy, meaty nectarines, delicious apricots, and giant, juicy red plums. This botanical miracle provides five different fruits from the same parent tree trunk. Why use up precious yard space with multiple fruit trees when you can grow an entire orchard of succulent fruit from a single plant? Not to mention that each spring, your yard will be adorned with the most gorgeous blooms you've ever seen. Each hardy 3 to 4 foot fruit tree ships directly from the nursery, ready to plant with fully established roots. They quickly grow with little care to the ideal picking height of 12 to 15 feet. Now you can turn the tiniest corner of your garden into a mini fruit farm that yields bushel upon bushel of delicious fruits to share with your family and friends. Ideal for making pies, cobblers, jams, and jellies, and much, much more. The high-yielding fruit salad tree produces bushel baskets of the same prize fruits that sell in gourmet markets for as much as $5 per pound, and they're yours for just pennies. Order now through this exclusive offer and get your very own fruit salad tree for only $20 plus processing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're screwed. Oh.
And this is the point at which I can't believe I did this. This is like 2 weeks in a row. I don't have my headsets on. I got nothing going on here. I'm fumbling here. Hold on.
I'm ready.
We're good. We're all good.
You guys turn on your mics.
Hi.
Happy Easter, listeners.
What?
I was going to help you here.
No, that's okay. I got it, Denny. They're just, happy Easter, everybody. Because I don't even have the...
And if you get a chance, go to the Mike Novak page on Facebook.
There you go.
See Mike with two
Easter blues, too.
Two life-size Easter bunnies. Some good pictures today behind the...
This is not the way the show is supposed to start. This is not what I had in mind, okay? Okay, hold on. Let's just go to... are you taking photos?
There we go.
Oh, by the way, yeah, you need to know that Sarah Batka here in the studio has her Easter ears on. I didn't bring my Easter ears. I didn't know we were supposed to wear Easter ears. But if you go to my Facebook page, Mike Novak, and my website, MikeNovak.net, you will see that I am with my Easter pals there. They have the ears for me. Of course, as somebody noted on the page, I also have a few ears myself. So that's the way that goes. Okay, I've almost got it here. I loaded that in. We need a show open. I refuse to do this without a show open. See, it's crash and burn day on Easter. That's the one. It's not the one I wanted.
We did it before you. We crashed this morning.
Did you guys crash this morning? Oh, no. Oh, well, thank you for being here. Oh, Mike's here because he's worried about it. No, this is not any. Actually, for once, it's not the fault of the technical stuff here. It's not the fault of the computers and actually the station. It's my fault. It's operator error.
It's Easter.
It's Easter. It's total operator error. Okay.
So let it fly.
Let it fly. Here we go.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, true currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Allsip Nursery. offering the best of every season since 1969. To Mike, it's not just another banana peel, it's future dirt. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I feel better now that we've had the open. Denny, I guess I should turn your mic on, shouldn't I?
No. Feels right, though. Feels what? Right. That yeah. intro.
Yeah, you got to have the intro. Your sponsors appreciate it. You know?
Yeah, that too.
Since they're paying for it. Okay, guys, sure. We'll play that. I really didn't want to, but yeah. We'll play that. Happy Easter, everybody.
Hippity hop.
Hippity hop, hippity hop.
Ooh, look, I found an Easter egg.
Wow, there's an Easter egg hidden in the studio.
I did.
Who knew? Who knew? I didn't know they were having that contest here. I'm telling you, I wish, we're going to have to start doing this, like Mighty House, because we need to have cameras in here. If you could only see.
Oh, no, we don't.
If we could only see Sarah. We're going to take photos.
I tweeted it. I didn't tag you, but it's on the.
It's on the Mike Novak.
It's on the Mike Novak retweeted my tweet.
Somehow that sounds obscene. But
happens all the time.
Yeah. But put that up there. I want the photo of Sarah for the whole world to see. Nice ears.
Thank you. I don't know why it's so funny. I'm glad I can make you guys laugh.
I just keep looking at her. And it's okay. I'll get over it. Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
We're live. We're local. Let's do all the stuff that...
And we're fabulous.
Yes, we're in our ears.
You're fabulous.
You're fabulous. I'm okay, and Rob's so-so. let's start here. Wait, I'm going to tell you who's going to be on the show today, and then we're going to go through our little list. Remember these lists I handed out to the team last week? All right, everybody get their little list? You get to get your... have you studied it? Did you memorize it?
You know what? Remember I came in late, so maybe I didn't get one of those last week.
Oh, my dog ate mine.
Oh, good.
My rabbit.
Denny, do you have your list?
Got my list. And, you know, with that rough beginning there, I went ahead and grabbed our guests on the line. Just to make sure. Just to make sure we're on the right page here.
Oh, I appreciate that. You're trying to keep me honest, aren't you? Let's actually bring him in real quick and apologize for waking him up. Actually, he should be up by now. Alan Armitage, Dr. Alan Armitage, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you? You didn't wake me up. I just had to disentangle myself from grandkids on Easter.
Oh, really? So there are people who still celebrate that, huh?
Apparently so, and with great gusto, I may add.
I guess. You know, over here, we do have Easter ears. We found an egg in the studio already. The show got off to a rocky start. Little audio problem here. I'm going to play something for you in a second, Alan, that I want you to hear. By the way, you should know Alan is the professor emeritus of horticulture at the University of Georgia. Also, Josiah Meggs Distinguished Teaching Professor, Liberty Hyde Bailey recipient from the American Horticultural Society. You know, and if I read all of your awards and honors, that would be it. That'd be the end of the show. And then we'd have to move on to our next guest. As I mentioned on my website, Alan has more honors and awards than most people have cable channels. So you do that just to make people who are insecure of their place in the universe just retreat into a cubbyhole, don't you?
No, not at all. It's just that, when these awards are given out, there just weren't many choices, so they had to give it to somebody. So there's hope for us all.
So you're that old. Okay, that's good. All right,
exactly.
Great. At a time in the world when the population was very small, Alan Armitage received all those awards. Okay, we're going to get to him in just a second. I also want to let you know that in the second hour, oh, by the way, Alan is, as I said, horticulture. Ding, ding, ding. That means gardening. That means 773-763-9278. If you have a garden question of any kind, because, and that's what we're going to do to you, Alan. We're going to just throw everything up against the wall and see what you can handle. All right.
No worries. I'll give it a go. We'll do our best.
And I'm sure you do all the time. Doesn't matter that he's from Georgia and they don't really have any problems because it's always warm down there. But he can handle our Midwest questions, I think, too. 773-763-9278. Gardening is the topic, whatever you want. Second hour, I'm very excited. This is going to be really cool. Jim and Jamie Dutcher are a pair who spent 6 years or so living with wolves out in the wilds of Idaho, in the Sawtooth Range, in the Sawtooth Wilderness, in the early to mid-90s, and have written a book about it, The Hidden Life of Wolves. Now, this is a subject I've been meaning to cover for a long, long time, because if you pay attention at all, you know that wolves are among the most misunderstood creatures on our planet. And we have done our best as a species to extirpate this species, which is not one of our shining moments as human beings. Every time the wolves come back, we try to eliminate them again. If you see this book, and they've started there's an exhibit at the Field Museum that just opened last week, which is one of the reasons they're on the show. It's also called Living with Wolves, and it runs through July 7th. So you might want to go down there, or you might want to get this fabulous book that they put together called The Hidden Life of Wolves. Very cool. So they're going to be on the show in the second hour, and I bet we're going to have a few questions about that, because I remember last year when we talked about coyotes, and urban coyotes. Man, the phones lit up, and I got emails, and folks just couldn't get enough of that. It was just wolves might not be the same thing, because we're not worried about wolves going into our backyards here in Chicago, but they are an important species. We need to protect them. We need to allow them to survive, because they do great things for the ecosystem, for various ecosystems. So I hope you'll stick around for the second hour, Jim and Jamie Dutcher. And that's it. That's kind of it. Usually I'm of course, Rick DeMille weather at 9:45 this morning. Other than that, we're ready to rock and roll here. So let's get back to Alan Armitage, you're doing a lot of different things. One of the things you let me know about is your new online course. It sounds like you're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, but Mike, I think, first of all, I just think you should let me go and just go talk about wolves. It sounds like a whole lot more fun.
You know, okay, what do you know about wolves there, Alan?
You know, they are a misunderstood group of species, as just right behind gardeners. I mean, nobody understands us either.
That's true.
You know, we should feel a little threatened every now and then too, because as soon as we get a 3-day drought, they go into water restrictions. They don't allow us to water or anything. So you know, we have our moments too, but we do the best we can. And I think this whole gardening thing, and you know, beautifying or just doing something with your hands, man, I tell you what, people love this stuff, and they can't get enough of it. And so I'll be chatting about this kind of thing with you as much as you'd like. When you talk to people about why they garden, the first word that comes up all the time is therapy. And so we definitely are a therapeutic group, and we try our best to deliver therapy every now and then.
Well, I put some of your words of wisdom up on my website. This article you wrote apparently some time ago, but is used quite often. And I thought, this is great stuff, because you mentioned creativity, excitement, and therapeutic for people who garden. And, you know, excitement might be a little beyond the pale, but it can be exciting in your garden. You know, I've had some exciting moments.
when the coyotes and wolves
came. Coyotes and wolves show up, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, the excitement part is kind of hard to tell people, but the fact is that it's kind of exciting to know that you're going to be doing this. You know, in Chicago, it's cold still, and my gosh, you just can't, you're almost on the starting line waiting for the gun to go off. And that's exciting. It really is.
Well, you know, and you got to understand, I don't know if you've been following it here, but in the upper Midwest, last year we were 3 weeks ahead of a normal spring, and this week we're 3 weeks behind a normal spring. So we're talking about a turnaround of 6 weeks here, and it's making people crazy.
It's cabin fever times five, I'm telling you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, while I'm at Georgia, like your listeners should know that I grew up in Canada, so I grew up in Montreal, so I do know cold, I do know snow, and I do know winter. We're a little spoiled here, but then you get spoiled in the summer, so it's okay.
Well, you know, I thought I heard you say a boot a little while ago, and I was wondering where. Wait, that's not Georgia? What the heck?
Yeah.
Well, how did you end up down in Georgia?
Oh, it's a long story, I'm afraid, and probably longer than you want to hear. Just suffice it to say that, nobody in Canada wanted me. So, you know, I came to this great country, and, it's been so much fun I've stayed here. But truly, I use, for myself and for all my students and for all your listeners, I use the most famous philosopher in the world by the name of Yogi Berra. And Yogi Berra said that when the path forks, take it. And that's how we all got to where we are, and that's certainly how I got to Georgia.
Mr. Armitage?
Yes, sir.
May I see your papers, please?
No, that's why I'm here and you're there.
Oh, okay. You can't prove. I bet you can't even produce a birth certificate.
No, I was born in Africa, but.
I knew it. You are a Kenyan. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about that online course that you've started. And by the way, wait, before I do that, I got to mention, because it'll make Marcy Daly crazy if I don't, who's listening in LaPorte, Indiana County. LaPorte County Master Gardeners are having you speak in a couple of weeks. On the 13th, I believe, yes, at 8:30. Let's see, you're at 9:45. It's their Going Garden Crazy 2013 Spring Symposium. And I have spoken over there, and what a great crew they are. And the place is going to be packed. It's not you, Alan. It's the fact that they always pack it. I mean, it was packed for me, so it'll be packed for anybody.
You know, yeah, I'm glad you got those dates right and times right, because, you know, Marcy would shoot you otherwise.
Yeah, I know.
She's great. We love it. And I love LaPorte County. They do a great job, and they really have fun, and that's what it's all about. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think my talk is like crazy plants for crazy gardeners. So.
Exactly.
You know, we should have a good time.
Well, and the punishment if you don't get it right, and if I don't get it right, is she'll write a song parody and I'll have to sing it.
That's a punishment for your audience.
It sure is. All right. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, since you're doing the Going Garden Crazy Symposium for the LaPorte County Master Gardeners. What kind of crazy plants are you going to be talking about?
Well, you know, I don't tell Marcy this, but I haven't quite got it finished yet. The fact is,
your secret's safe with me, by the way.
Somewhat crazy, you know. If you enjoy, I mean, if you're listening to me, you're definitely a wee bit crazy. But the fact is that we do plants like crazy gingers that nobody's ever heard of, where you have to get in your hands and knees just to see their flowers. You know, we do plants like Jack in the Pulpits, where, you know, some of them are, that whole family of plants are so weird and, in fact, so disgusting that every crazy gardener has to have at least one. So I'm definitely going to talk about plants that they can find, you know, the greatest new phloxes and the greatest new whatevers, and vegetables as well, because there's so many spectacular. I'm going to talk about, okay, listen to this now, Mike. I have researched as much as one can do. I have researched a fable. It's a fable, so it may never exist, but it's called Jack and the Beanstalk, and I think I have found the true Jack's Beanstalk. And I'm going to talk about that as well. So those are the kind of plants I'm talking about.
Wait. You're not going to divulge that here on the radio? I'm not going to have a scoop?
I think we'll have to have... I give you a scoop and we're in trouble. But put it this way, Jim. Put it this way, Mike. This is a plant that I will have some seeds with me. And anybody who comes to my talk that has, you know, a little kid who knows the story and doesn't cry can have a seed. we'll have some. It really is Jack's Bean is what I call it. So it's really kind of fun.
Well, you know, if I come and listen to you, I'm likely to cry. So that would that disqualify me? Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to your online course, because this is a new venture for you, isn't it?
Well, I think online courses, it is a new course, and it's a course that I'm doing another one as well. It's called, I have a great creative title. So I want to talk about my app in a minute, because another great creative title.
Oh, yeah, I know. We'll get to the app.
No worries, but this is called Armitage's Perennials for the Sun. I mean, that's creative. So there are 20 different genera you study, whether it's Campanula or whether it's, phlox or Coreopsis or whatever. And you listen to me on your speakers. And Mike, you'd be happy to do this. You can turn me off. But and there's videos, and I talk about some great plants and every kind of genus I'm talking about. And then there's a little test at the end of each one, so you have to pass.
That's a deal breaker for me, the test at the end.
I know, but the good thing, Mike, I made this for you, because if, in fact, you don't get it right, you can keep doing it until you do. And there's only four possible answers, so, you know, we can get it right eventually.
Yeah, even me.
I've made this for the lowest common denominator.
So you have a time frame in which you need to take this course?
Oh, so you can do it anytime you want. You do it online in your own time. I think there's a 6-month time period.
Uh-huh.
I think. But you know.
And who is this for? And do you, what kind of credits do you get for this?
Well, you get credits for the University of Georgia, which are kind of I shouldn't say master gardener credits. If the master gardeners in your state, let's just say Illinois wants to put this on their master gardener program, and the Illinois master gardener coordinator says, well, if our guys take it or our people take it, we'll give them 3 credits or whatever credits towards their master gardener certificate. Louisiana is doing that. Other states are doing that. But it's up to the master gardeners per se. However, anybody who does it on their own gets credits from us.
Hey, listen, you just hit the jackpot, because right here in the studio with her bunny ears on is the Chicago master gardener coordinator, Sarah Batka. Sarah, pop on the mic there. would you consider giving credits to Chicago Master Gardeners for this course?
Absolutely.
Well, Sarah, here's a neat thing, too. If you work with us, I can send it to you, and then you can put it out with the Chicago Master Gardener insignia on it. In other words, kind of it's coming from you, not from University of Georgia, from me, or not, whatever. But we try to personalize it for the people who are sending it out to others. And the Master Guard, this is a course that masters, they love it. I've got over 100 and some odd students right now, and they love it. So you just let me know if you're interested, and we'll get it all set up for you.
Thank you. I certainly am. Sure. Michael, connect us.
Absolutely. I can do that. I have the technology. It covers sun perennials. Are you going to do one on shade perennials?
I'm working on shade right now. It takes a while to do these. But nevertheless, that's what I'm working on now. So, and in fact, if this works and that works, he's only been out for a couple months, really, maybe 4 months, 3 months. Heck, I'll do one on bulbs and on, you know, natives. And I can.
Yeah, you could just crank them out.
We're the best of them, believe me.
Well, you've written 13 books. How hard could it be to do an online course?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly right. I just cheat with my books. That's why I write them. I never can remember anything. So I have to have something to refer to.
That's right. So you go back to your own book, and that's what you put online. See, I love it. That's the key. You got to write the book first, then you just use it over and over again in various media.
In the marketing and advertising game, they call it repackaging. So
yeah,
that's what I'm up to. There's some new stuff in all of them, though, because the course is great. As you know, I'll mention his app again, because I can update them regularly, and that's a good thing.
That is Dr. Alan Armitage, Professor Emeritus of Horticulture at the University of Georgia. We're going to get to your app in just a second. I will remind folks that, again, that if you're Indiana way and you want to see this man speak, and who wouldn't, you can go to my website, mikenovak.net, and go to this week's show. I've got all the information on the Going Garden Crazy 2013 Spring Symposium put on by the LaPorte County Master Gardeners and others. There's other sponsors there, but chiefly that's them. And it's just $35 gets you into the conference and lunch. How can you possibly go wrong? And the registration information is there. I can give you the number. It's 219-324-9407. 219-324-9407. Alan, hang on for a second. This is commercial radio. I got to make a living. So I'm going to take care of that, and I will be right back with you, okay?
Okay, no worries. See you soon.
Okay. Dr. Earth's liquid solution fertilizer is formulated to work fast any time of year, regardless of temperature. And given the temperatures that we've had in Chicago lately, this might be a good thing. And it provides primary essential plant nutrients. Use it on vegetables, indoor gardens, flowers, bedding plants, potted plants, trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and lawns. Just mix with water and apply to the soil or foliage. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth's liquid solution. For more on Dr. Earth, a leader in ethical organics, go to drearth.com, where you can find a dealer near you and connect with them on Facebook and Twitter, both, for organic updates.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor, to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
My name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
You know, that looks very strange, Rob. Rob's got his camera and he's taking a picture of the Easter egg that was in the studio. Without context, it doesn't make
it doesn't work.
It doesn't make any sense. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Last week, I reported that according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, Illinois is now drought-free for the first time since April 3rd, 2012. That deserves a ding. Most areas in Illinois have seen positive responses in soil moisture, stream flows, lake levels, and groundwater levels since the fall. But as far as your trees are concerned, that's not the end of the story. Based on last year's heat and lack of rainfall, the Care of Trees says that they expect to see a number of different drought-related issues cropping up over this season. They include, but are not limited to, poor growth, stunted leaves, increased borer activity, and a variety of evergreen issues, including needle cast, which means they turn various colors and then drop off, borers, and possibly whole tree mortality. See, I shouldn't be laughing about that, because this is something that people are going to encounter. This is why we're giving you a warning from the Care of Trees. You know, you think, well, here's the weather. It's nice. We've finally gotten some moisture. And then you look at your tree and you go, well, wait a second. This is good weather, isn't it? Except that with tree problems, they start in 1 year and then they continue in several years into the future. So it's more important than ever to keep an eye on your trees and to give the certified arborist at the Care of Trees a call. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. That's my theme song. I'm not aware of too many things. I know what I know. On the phone, we have Alan Armitage, professor emeritus at the University of Georgia, who's going to be nearby in Indiana Way in just a couple of weeks. But today we've got him on the show, and we're talking about his online course and his app. Before we get to the app, Alan.
Yep.
I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I just mentioned with the care of trees there, and that is drought.
Yeah.
And the effects of that. What are the weather conditions been like in Georgia the last few years?
Well, we have had our share of drought conditions, to be sure. About 5-6 years ago, we were in major drought, and it was on the local news, the federal news, international news, where our lakes were drying up. We are much, much better now. Nobody ever complains of rain anymore, and nobody. But all our reservoirs are done, are full, our lakes are full, we're in good shape. It's raining today. But, you know, Lord knows what the future holds, and I think weather patterns have definitely changed, so we always cross our fingers, but we're in pretty good shape right now.
So what are you teaching your gardening students and acolytes about climate change and what they need to be aware of as they move forward as gardeners?
Well, I you know, Mike, it's interesting. There's a lot of, I won't say pressure. A lot of people keep saying, oh, well, you know, we got to get into more succulents. We got to get into more drought-resistant, essentially Southwest plants. And the fact is that while there is definite weather pattern changes, I don't think anyone can ignore the fact there are changes in weather patterns, and our storms will get more intense and our droughts will get longer. I don't think we're there yet to sort of just erase the entire plant palette we've been used to and go to something that isn't at all even close to what we've been doing. The whole movement to native plants makes sense in that some native plants are more drought-tolerant or more heat-tolerant or more whatever-tolerant. But the fact is, I think we just need to have common sense. You know, if you're going to garden, you have to prepare your soils. If you're going to prepare your soils, and if you have a chance, you're going to have some irrigation somehow. And we need to do more green things. We need to collect our water. It does rain. It just doesn't rain as often as we'd like at times. But there are lots of ways to collect water and use the water in your garden. So those are the kind of things I talk about. I'm not throwing out the baby with the bathwater yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you got to be really careful when you tell people, well, you know, your zone has changed. Has the climate hardiness or the hardiness map affected Georgia very much?
Well, for most gardeners in this country, we're all a half a step up.
Yeah, that's about right.
If you were 5A, you're now 5B. If you were 7A, you're now 8. But, you know, again, all of those, as we know, are simply suggestions, honest to goodness. I love the zone map because it gives us something we can hang our hat on, but I never take it too seriously because gardeners, those are just like as I say, suggestions. If it says that they're in a zone 5, you know they're going to try a zone 7 plant anyway. But, yeah, I mean, certainly I think that we're getting, you know, warmer. The statistics bear that out. So
yeah.
There are some plants that are going to do better for you than did before, and others that just aren't going to look as good.
Yeah, you have those on the fringe, the marginal plants.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you know, in Illinois, here in Chicago, actually, the people who are going to try stuff are the ones near the lake, because that is the area where definitely it seems like it's bumped up half a zone, and then they're the ones always trying something that doesn't work in the suburbs, out Aurora way, you know.
No, I agree, and there's all, and again, if you have that calming effect or the sort of the averaging effect of a body of water, it makes life a little bit easier for sure. The further inland you get, the more intense is the weather, hotter or colder or drier or wetter. So, you know, but nevertheless, they're just as active in trying different things for sure.
You know, I'm not that familiar. What zone are you in there?
We were seven. Well, we're 7A, 7B, depending. Georgia has mountains and coastline and the whole nine yards. So we went from 6A to 7A, or 7B, I guess, and now some of us are in 8, and some of us are in, most of us are in 7 of some kind.
Yeah.
Some of us are in 8. There's a few in 8A, I guess. So, yeah. But then, you know, that whole zoning thing, we just got to be careful. We're in zone 7-ish, and so is Portland, Oregon. And, you know, we don't have anything.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because I had a vacation home on the Olympic Peninsula of Washington State for about 18 years.
Beautiful place.
Gorgeous. Zone 8, all right?
Yeah.
And in Chicago, we're zone 5.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot about gardening there. But the thing that you would find interesting about their zone 8, you would think, well, it's like Florida. But it's not. It's the Pacific. I mean, you know, you said you're from Vancouver.
No, Montreal.
Montreal, I'm sorry. Yeah. But if you're in Vancouver, you've got the same weather as you have in the Pacific, you know, in Seattle and the Olympic Peninsula. And it's often cool and rainy, but the point is the temperature rarely freezes there, which allows those plants to overwinter and survive. And it rarely gets above 80. Or 85, and so it's just this moderate temperature that is really delightful, and it's very British like, very very United Kingdom kind of weather.
Yeah, and it's as I say, we're all gardeners. We're all going to try and push the envelope, but obviously there are some things that we can do better than others. That's all.
All right, so tell us about your app. I mean, here you are, you are so 21st century, Alan. I am so impressed. I am trying to get an app myself for the Mike Novak Show. Anybody listening who would like to help me develop that so I can have an app? People, see, this is how sad I am. I'm shilling for my own app on my radio show.
I'll give you a hand, Mike. We'll figure it out.
Okay, great. So what is in your app? And it's not been quite released yet, has it?
It is. It was released last week. So I want to let your folks know, and of course, Marcy, if she's still listening, knows that that's her job. I don't show up unless she sells at least 100,000 of these apps. But, the fact is, I've always wanted to do this. It is a little bit of a complicated procedure, but the fact is, if any of your readers are interested, again, a wonderful creative name of Armitage's Greatest Perennials and Annuals. It's a little mini book. It doesn't turn on flashlights or show you the stars. It gives you lots of information right at your fingertips. And in there are my favorites. So one of the things is why it makes my cut. Why do I like it? And this is for the whole world, believe me. It's for Chicago and for Atlanta and for Vancouver. It has zones for perennials and for annuals, what's new, why I like them. And then I give you my, as somebody said, my pithy information. whereas I don't fully put it, this is great because, or it's a piece of junk because. And then I show you some of the varieties that I think are good. It's an app, so it's obviously at your fingertips, both on all tablets and all smartphones. Androids and i products included. Unfortunately, if you have a BlackBerry, it doesn't work on that.
Yeah, or a Droid, because
no, it works on Droids. Works on all Droids.
Wait, now see, when I wrote to you earlier, you said, "Oh, you wanted me to preview it for you and try it out." But
no, that was a preview, Mike. The preview only was on one thing, but now the actual app itself.
Yeah.
It works on everything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it works on everything.
All right, so I got more reasons to be jealous of you. You got all those awards, you know, because you lived at a time when there were very few people on the planet.
That's
and
right.
And now you got an app. I mean, you span the generations. How do you do this, Alan?
I don't know. I just sort of land in a mud pile and then try and build a mud castle, I guess.
and then
you... Easy enough, if your listeners are interested, just tell them to go to their app store and search Armitage.
Well, you know, and the other thing they can do is go to my website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show. Go to the very first link I've got there. It says Dr. Alan Armitage, and you go to his website, which has all kinds of information, including about the online course, but it also has information about the app.
There you go.
And that's one way to do it. Well, Alan, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Good luck on the talk. They're very friendly over there in Indiana. You shouldn't have a problem.
Well, Mike, this is always a pleasure, and I hope you and I can do some things together. And thanks for your time, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right. Well, you take care, and good luck with the Apple. Keep me posted. Let me know how it's doing, all right?
I shall. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Have a great Sunday. Happy Easter, by the way.
Happy Easter to you. I'll go find what the grandkids have broken lately.
Go find an egg.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. Have you made the spring trip to Alsip Home and Nursery yet? Well, why not do it today and pick up some great annuals to celebrate Easter? They have a fabulous selection in their expansive greenhouses that almost make you feel like you're outdoors. Alsip even grows a lot of their own plants in their Kingsbury Acres facilities. And they've teamed up with some of the best flower growers in the country to offer an even wider variety of plants to choose from. That includes Alsip's famous geraniums, their own hardy, high-performing hybrids that draw discriminating gardeners from across the Midwest. Go to alsipnursery.com, A-L-S-I-P, nursery.com, to join their A-List Preferred Customer Program. It's free, and you'll be able to take advantage of A-List only sales events, exclusive A-List pricing on selected items, advanced notification of new items and product arrivals, and special A-List member events and seminars. And if you have leftover plastic pots, bring them in. Get 5% off any purchase when you bring in any pot for recycling, no matter where it was purchased. Go to alsipnursery.com, A-L-S-I-P, nursery.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
I saw some crocuses poking up through my lawn in the backyard yesterday. Woohoo! Oh, wait. The bell got kind of caught in the cord. There we go. The lawn is still brown. But as the temperatures creep up, I know that you turf fanatics out there are going to want to get to work on your pride and joy. I have to tell you that in my backyard, northern exposure, it's on the north side of the house. So, right behind the house, I was working the other day cleaning. We had some repair work done on the back porch. And so it was a mess. And it's right by the house. And so I cleaned it up the other day. The ground was rock hard, frozen. Yeah. Completely. Yeah, you're nodding, Rob.
My wood chips are still frozen.
Yeah. So it's certain. But on the other side of the yard that's in the sun, very workable, dry. You know, because it hasn't been, we haven't had that much moisture. I'll talk to Rick about that. It's been a while since that was covered but with the snowpack. And so you got one half of the yard that's still completely frozen and the other that's warming up and ready. So what, as a gardener, what do? You work on the one half of the yard, you know? And I know that people want to work on their turf. The turf fanatics out there are going to want to get to work on their pride and joy. Well, to make sure you have the best lawn possible, use the best grass seed possible. Bonide's DuraTurf grass seed. Bonide uses the best varieties of grass seed available today for their DuraTurf grass seed mixes. And whether it's Bonide's full sun, sun and shade, or dense shade grass seed mixes, you will have a lawn that is self-repairing, disease and insect resistant, and will grow in poor soil. You get all these benefits along with having a naturally durable dark green lawn. You can find Bonide's DuraTurf grass seed at Pesquazi Home and Garden in Barrington and Lake Bluff, Wasco Nursery in St. Charles, Mattson Ace Hardware in Coal City, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app. Speaking of apps, the Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or your Droid. Yeah, nothing says Easter like the Bodines. I have no idea what that means. But all right, before we get to Ricky D, which is what Denny has there.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Ricky D. We're gonna start calling him Ricky D.
And the place to be.
The place to be with Ricky D. That's our new slogan. Let's get out our cheat sheets, folks. Cheat sheets. Team, hello. Get off of Facebook. Get off of Twitter.
I'm on it.
Pretend you're on the radio here. I know this. It's multitasking is hard for you guys, especially when you got rabbit ears on, literally. The website is
Mike's on
MikeNovak.net.
Wow, smooth! You are Mr. Smooth. What was that website again?
MikeNovak.net.
And the call-in phone number is
773-763-9278.
And Denny, if they want to write to me,
MikeNovak.
Oh, you don't have your cheat sheet out.
I got the sheet that got Ricky D on the phone, though, huh? Pretty important sheet, I'd say.
If you want to write to Mike, it's mike@mikenovak.net.
Bam. Send all complaints to
to Denny Sheeter, care of NewsWeb Radio. Of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter. You can go to the Mike No. And you know what? We need some links or likes. We need some likes today. You know, it's just going too slow. All right.
I think we're at 833 today.
I know. Well, you know what happens every time I ask for likes on the show? I lose likes. I don't know what it is. People don't like it when you shill for your own Facebook page, dude. How you doing with a weekend for the cheap?
I'm at a steady 106.
Woo! Over 100.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. I want you to go online and like the Mike Novak Show, MikeNovak Show. We need some likes. All right. So get out there and do it.
Nice.
Especially you people in Indiana. I plugged your event. Now I want some likes. That's my payment. And we're also on Twitter, Mike Now. How's the tweeting going today? Who's handling? I forget who's handling. That's Rob. That's you.
Yeah.
Today.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
I haven't even looked. I haven't seen what's up there today. Podcasts available at MikeNovak.net. You can always get the show after the show anytime. As soon as we get that app worked out, we're going to have that. You can sign up for my newsletter, which is going to be going out very soon. MikeNovak.net. Go there. You can sign up for the newsletter. And there was one other thing. I can't remember what it is, but it's not on the sheet. I know there was one more thing. Eh, whatever. Let us go to the phone line. Let's bring in Ricky D. How you doing, Ricky D?
So I guess I call you Mikey N.
it doesn't roll off the tongue in the same way,
well,
you know.
No, actually, it does. If you think about the Mickey Mouse song, MikeNovak.
Yeah, that will work. It's
isn't
double.
That how you write a jingle, you sit at the piano, and you kind of keep banging out the keys until you go, that works.
Hey, Ricky D. Except it's Nowak.
What's that?
It's Nowak.
Oh, okay. All right. I know. That's right. All right. Hey, I should know that because
it's only been 5 years, you know.
I know that. No. But I remember telling you a story how my mother's father, when he came over on the boat from Ukraine, his last name is Volk, but it's actually spelled W-O-L-K.
Ah, so you know, a lot of names got changed. And
obviously over there, W is pronounced V.
Right.
So they said, oh, you're Volk. He goes, no, I'm Volk. Just like Volkswagen is Volkswagen.
Exactly.
Yeah. It all kind of works. Hey, you know what you were talking about, working in the yard, and it's amazing, Mike. And it's so nice to get the month of March out of our skin, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's not been exactly the I don't know. I haven't had a problem with it. I'm sorry. I'm just I'm okay. I'm okay with whatever we got.
I think from a standpoint of it returning us to near normal weather, it was great. Decent amount of rain, decent amount of cold weather. It's kind of taken the climactic steroid type March that we had last year and kind of threw it back out the window. We now got pretty much back to normal. But I think for a lot of people, it was getting a bit too much, very cloudy, very windy, very cold. And I don't think people were actually ready for a normal March. But oddly enough, Mike, it provided us with a decent amount of rain and snow. And, what's really amazing is if you look down across central areas of Illinois, where they had over 12 to 18 inches of snow at that last snow event from a week and a half ago, the entire state of Illinois has now been removed from the drought map. And that's fantastic news.
It is amazing. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit last week. But my question is, where do we are Great Lakes levels still down regardless of it?
Yeah, they're way down. In fact, it was kind of interesting. I was looking out my balcony window yesterday, and the ice, believe it or not, along the shoreline finally was completely gone by about the 25th of March, which is the latest I've ever seen it. And we still have probably about, probably still the 15 inches ago. I don't have the exact numbers, in my hands, but I know that it takes a long time to get, all that rain, or at least all that snow to melt back into the soil and then back into tributaries because, Lake Michigan obviously fills up when we get snow in parts of northern Wisconsin and Michigan, not in Illinois. Everything actually runs into the Chicago River, the Des Plaines River, and eventually runs west. So, the lakes are still low, and that's going to be a problem, obviously, for the recreational boaters and people who are doing, you know, a lot of the pleasure crafts up and down the Chicago shoreline there. So yeah, we are down quite a bit on the lakes. But you know what? Before I forget this important point here, Tom Skilling's Fermilab creative seminar, which occurs every April this year, it's going to be next Saturday at Fermilab, both at noon and I believe at 6. He's having Dr. Don Weebles, who I think you probably know of, is a climate scientist at U of I. And he's going to be talking about not only climate change, but the severity of the climate variability, which is something that you and I talk about quite a bit. And Don has been probably one of the leaders in understanding how the possible changes of climate will be affecting the state of Illinois over the next 40 to 50 years, but doing it, I think, in a more so pragmatic way. You can look on either Thomas Gilling's WGN Weather Center website or the National Weather Service website, and there's more information about it, but also Dr. Louis Uccellini from the National Center for Atmospheric Science headquarters in Washington, D.C. will be talking about Hurricane Sandy and its impacts on the East Coast. And that was one of the talks that I got to see down at the AMS conference in Austin. So not only does the Skilling bringing people from the local office talk about how to prep yourself for the tornado season, but he brings in speakers nationwide that are really talking about, you know, I think the things that affect people more so long term on a large scale. So again, Don Weebles and Louis Uccellini talking about things related to climate change. And this will be next Saturday at Fermilab, and you have to get there about an hour early, otherwise the seats are all gone at that point.
I'm not surprised, and I am, you know, you meteorologists are a collegial bunch. Here you are plugging Tom Skilling's event next week. When are you doing your own tornado seminar?
You know what? Many years ago, Tom asked me to talk about the impacts of severe weather on aviation, and I just didn't think I knew too much about it back then. This was going all the way back into the late 80s, so maybe in the next couple of years or so, we'll be talking about that. But I would love for, and I've spoken to Tom about this, I would love for him to have, you know, some of the smaller segments that deal with the things that you talk about, the environment, agriculture, gardening. I think Dr. Weebles is going to be talking about this because you were mentioning about how one side of the yard is sunny, one side of the yard appears to be drier, and it looks like things are beginning to bloom. I've noticed crocuses and already blooming. It's amazing how resilient those flowers are. But looking at some of the websites from the Botanic Gardens and also the National Weather Service office on Romeoville, the 4-inch depth of, or at least the soil temperature, about 4 inches below what we call bare soil, is already up to 46 degrees. Whereas the 4-inch soil temperature under sod, which is basically, you know, grass and things like that, is only about 40 degrees. And these temperatures are still a little bit cooler than what we typically see this time of year, but obviously incredibly warm compared to what we had around here, or at least compared to last year, where we had temperatures already well into the upper 50s. And again, it's not so much the sunlight or the air temperature. It's how that sunlight gets down into the soil and warms up the ground. We got a long way to go because the ground is still obviously compacted, as you were mentioning before, with still a lot of over, you know, some of the snow melt and some of the rain that we've had recently.
Yeah, it's amazing to have that difference. My front yard, obviously, on the south side of the house is completely warm, but I look across the street and
There's actually still some piles of snow and compacted ice in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, I have some in my backyard. I still have stuff from where I shoveled that's still sitting there. So
And part of that, and someone said to me, well, we haven't had snow lately, but if you remember the snow that we did have, that was a very heavy, wet snow. And then that snow begins to, quote, sublimate and then also melt on top of one another. And then it got really, really cold. So basically what happened was the snow converted into ice. So if you really want to remove that and get the ground a little bit warm underneath those areas, just go in there with a hoe and just start chopping some of that ice or old snow away. And it's amazing how quickly you'll return that soil temperature to somewhat workable conditions. It's a little bit of a good tip from that standpoint.
So where are we? I know that it's supposed to cool off a little bit earlier this week. Does that mean we're going to continue to experience cool weather? What's going on for the next couple of weeks?
You know what? The long-term pattern in the last minute and a half here still bodes well for subnormal temperatures, but long-term also the subnormal this time of the month and this time of the year becomes less and less, and the near-normal becomes more and more. So bottom line, we finished up the month of March with temperatures 6 degrees below normal or 22 degrees colder than what we had in March of 2012, which is really phenomenal when you think about it. Yesterday we hit 59 degrees. That was the warmest since back in January. Now, that's not something that you normally say for winter in Chicago. I know, very, very strange stuff.
Yeah.
We had a 70 in December. We had a 60 in January, but we did not have the 60-degree temperature in March. So go figure. But the bottom line is beautiful today. We cleared out after that weak front came through. So mid-50s today, but only in the upper 30s tomorrow. A strong cold front comes through. Probably staying in the mid to upper 30s during the day on Tuesday, low 40s to probably near 50 on Wednesday, and then getting back to normal to probably near 60 by the end of the week, Mike. So forget about the gardening for the next couple of days, and probably no problem getting into the yard doing some field work, as we like to call it.
Yeah, getting it ready.
Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday next week looks good.
All right. And, of course, perfect weather for opening day baseball.
Not.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Rick. I'll talk to you next week.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, too. There goes Ricky D. Second hour. We're talking Wolves. I know the new name for Ricky. We'll be back after this.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Allsup Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I just went from big speakers in studio to speakers in headset, and suddenly it was just like this real difference. I went, that can't be right. This something's supposed to sound more fuller in your headset, isn't it? And these are these...
Are those new headphones?
Yeah, they are.
Looking good. Fancy.
They're styling.
I got these for the big event we did in Washington, D.C. I decided I needed real headphones if we're going to be on site there on the National Mall.
Anybody say, hey, nice cans?
No.
Little radio term there, cans.
Yeah, cans. Got it. Yeah. Denny, I got an email.
What's that?
And you were the subject.
Denny fan?
Denny fan.
All right. Let's hope, huh?
Just visited your beautiful evolving website. We can thank Kathleen for that. We'll give her a ding. While looking at the team section, I noticed pictures of everyone except Denny.
Oh, my. Who said this?
Tom.
Tom, you're a good man.
Tom, my radio guy friend who loves cats.
Just a picture of me answering a phone.
It says, notice the pictures of everyone except Denny. I mean, he's your first line of defense and always pleasant to speak with, unless he's really ugly.
Well, I am a balded, bearded man, so yeah, what you want with that.
He might get some hot calls from some hot ladies.
Oh, hey now.
And then he says, can't wait to hear next week's show opening. Oh, now the pressure's on. Now I got to come up with something special. Yeah. Oh, you know, I was going to play that for Alan, my crazy fruit tree thing.
That was good.
I don't know if it's good or not, really, but it is something. I all of a sudden, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I started receiving every other day, amazing fruit tree offer. Wait.
Go ahead.
All right. I got to play this. Let me find this again because out of the blue, all of a sudden, I started getting this. In my email.
Now you can grow 5 different fruit varieties from a single tree with the amazing fruit salad tree from Gardner's Collection. Imagine picking sugar sweet purple plums in your own backyard, luscious peaches as big as your fist, tangy meaty nectarines, delicious apricots, and giant juicy red plums. This botanical miracle provides 5 different fruits from
botanical miracle.
Why use up precious yard space with multiple fruit trees when you can grow an entire orchard of succulent fruit from a single plant?
He said succulent.
Each spring your yard will be adorned with the most gorgeous blooms you've ever seen. Each hardy 3 to 4 foot fruit tree ships directly from the nursery, ready to plant with fully established roots.
I don't know why you wouldn't do it. I don't know why you just wouldn't jump at it. Yeah, except that it looks like, you know, it's one of those things that comes across your email that's got spam all over. And then and I talked to actually Jennifer Brennan. The lovely, talented Jennifer Brennan from Chalet Nursery and co-host of Dig in Chicago, which starts on April 27th. And we'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks. And she says, well, they're all Prunus. That's the genus. So it should work. So I'm just kind of wondering. I'm going to start asking my horticultural friends what they think of that. The other thing before we get to our guests is, Rob, you had a Twitter question, and
my skinny garden was out doing some work on her raised vegetable beds yesterday, and congratulations, she found worms in one of her beds that she was cleaning out, which is great news in the spring. The worms are thawed out. Her question was, she sowed a mustard cover crop and wants to know if she needs to keep her beds covered. Rick was just saying our soil temps are about near 40 degrees, which is pretty good, but we are probably still going to have some overnight temps below freezing.
Well, the thing, have they germinated? Has she put out?
No, she sowed them yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. The ground's not going to freeze. Even if we get down to 29 or something like that, if she actually had plants that were up that might get hit by a frost, I might say, yeah, it might be good to put a cover on them, but if she just sowed the seeds, I mean, the seeds are going to take a few days to germinate.
Right. I don't think it's going to affect the seeds, but it's not a bad idea to, if you have black plastic,
it warm up
cover
the soil.
Yeah, that's probably not.
You could probably
idea.
You could that might be not a bad idea to just warm up that soil a little bit when we're getting the cold temperatures and.
Right, but it's not going to affect the seeds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Denny.
Oh, Denny wants to chime in?
We have Lisa. Lisa's on the line. I don't know if she wanted to go on or not, but she wanted to make sure we covered that oil spill in Minnesota.
The oil spill in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Our Lisa?
Our Lisa.
Oh, wonderful.
Lisa, hi. As in Lisa Albrecht? Lisa?
Solar girl.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good, good, good. I don't mean to derail the show and change the topic or anything. I've been online, but I keep dropping in and out, and so I wasn't sure if I missed it, but I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of the oil spill both in Minnesota this week, the train derailment, and then more importantly, the huge spill that's happening right now in Arkansas.
One of those was one of those a pipeline spill?
Yes, it was actually in people's yards. They've completely evacuated a subdivision. You can see oil running down the middle of the road.
And this is where? Where's that? Where's the
that one is in Arkansas?
Okay,
a little town called Mayflower.
Wow, I'm gonna check that out.
There's 84,000 gallons of oil that they're claiming at this point. They've completely, but it started up in somebody's backyard 2:30 on Friday. Homeowners notified the oil company. They're not exactly sure what time it got shut down, but you can actually see this oil. Like huge lakes of oil spilled out of people's backyards, down their streets. They've had to.
Wow, you have the worst phone ever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And the worst connection ever. Maybe it's not the worst phone ever, but
maybe, because I'm sitting next to the computer. Is this better if I move?
Yeah, a lot better.
Okay, sorry about that.
Was your computer giving off radiation or something?
No, but it's over by the windows, and I've got a bunch of windows with electric exposure that have a big metal lintel. But
wow.
So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, our listeners are aware and to to speak out, because it doesn't seem like it's getting very much coverage.
I'm looking right now on Google News, and I do not see anything. All right.
I posted twice. I reposted a couple of things from 350.org, but it's really disappointing, the lack of coverage. I don't normally watch regular news, so I don't know if people have been picking it up that direction. But, I mean, these are things that are happening, you know, this week, you know, and there was a big, huge spill in Utah last week, Congress moved forward to try to usurp the president's authority with the with Keystone by making it part of a financial bill, and it got all the votes that it needed in the Senate. It's unlikely to move through the House, but you know, even our own Senator Kerr voted in favor of pushing forward with Keystone and making that not an executive decision, but taking it and forcing it down the road. So I don't know. I just really angry today about the lack of media coverage and that these spills are happening right now.
Yeah, I totally get that. And now you're saying that they tried to put it into the bill. Which bill?
There was some kind of a financial bill that was amendment.
The continuing resolution, where the Monsanto Protection Act got passed this week.
Yeah, that was a fabulous one, too.
Yeah.
Stellar week in Washington.
Oh, yeah, really. This is how our government works. I'm getting real close to a kind of throw the bums out kind of mentality here. I mean, all of them, and even the so-called good ones, because they react like they run and hide when these things happen instead of doing something about it. Even the Democrats, you just throw your hands up. You want to smack them around is really what you want to do. So,
right.
You guys, do you have any ethics at all? Do you have any sense of morality?
They're trying to make Keystone be about jobs, and there are jobs. There's a few dozen jobs. I mean, that's it. There's nothing real there.
Yeah.
And this is the risk. I mean, you could have, and this oil came from Illinois, and it gets piped down through Arkansas to Texas. And, and this is, spilling in people's backyards. People need to know this is real.
Yeah, it is, and I don't mean to cut you short. We're going to have to get to Jim and Jamie Dutcher in a second. But the other thing was that whole so-called Monsanto Protection Act, and the good news about that, I got in some information through Advocates for Urban Agriculture, talking about this. It is. They write here, and this is a group at proorganics.org, says you need to realize passing periodic continuing resolutions has been at the highest level of political importance for presidents over the past two decades. Without passage, the government shuts down, leading the nation into certain disaster. Whatever political objectives any president has, first and foremost, the government must be funded. The Monsanto rider, Section 735, is reported by the New York Daily News to have been written in concert with Monsanto by Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri, Republican from Missouri, perhaps Monsanto's biggest Senate contribution beneficiary. This is the part that gets me. Senate Appropriations Committee Chairwoman Senator Barbara Mikulski, Democrat of Maryland, allowed the language to stand without consultation with the Agriculture Subcommittee or any others, for that matter.
Wow.
And this infamous action has been widely criticized in the strongest terms, even within the Senate. Senator Mikulski's Facebook page has dozens of comments in opposition. I would advise people to go to Senator Mikulski. And what's that information there? I'm sorry. We got something from Dennis.
Yeah, more information on the oil spills is now on your personal Facebook page, Mike.
Great. Go to the Mike Novak show, or?
I'll transfer it.
Okay.
Mike Novak personal page. Thanks to Kathleen.
Oh, okay.
Well, I can log on and put some of the stuff on.
Yeah, let's put it up on the Mike Novak show. And so.
But I'll let you get back to the wolves, but.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. Lisa, we miss you here. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody.
All right.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye, guys.
The bearer of good tidings.
Sorry.
That's okay. Have a great. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Okay. We got that out of the way. I think we've handled the problems of the world, right? Well, here's another problem of the world. Let's bring in Jim and Jamie Dutcher. Good morning to you two.
Good morning, Mike.
It's wonderful to have you on the show. If you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and this week's show, you will see a lot of information about an exhibit that the Dutchers just opened at the Field Museum called Living with Wolves. And it is in addition to a book they just put out called The Hidden Life of Wolves. This is something, you two, that I have been hoping to talk about for a long time, because I get these notices, and you know, all of us are inundated with emails in causes that we're supposed to respond to immediately, and usually with money. But I do get information from defenders of wildlife. And one of the things that I've noted from their emails that has just completely outraged me is the treatment of wolves in the west part of our country, in the American West, especially because they were protected under the Endangered Species Act until, as you point out in your book, April 14th, 2011. Allow me, as an introduction, to read. No, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll have you guys tell me about that, because rather than me read it, tell me about what happened on April 14th, 2011, Jim or Jamie.
Well, the wolves were protected under the Endangered Species Act, and from a population of 66, it was brought up to about 1,700 wolves, where their protection was taken away from them because the number had increased, and that's fine, but it was the management of these wolves was turned over to the state governments. The bill was actually hidden as a rider in the budget bill. It was never discussed. And so the wolves lost their protection. We had about 1,700 wolves at that time in the three western states. We've killed way over 1,000 of them now. And the hunting season goes on and on. An individual in Idaho can hunt for 10 months and kill or trap 16 wolves. There's proposals to gas the pups in the dens in Wyoming, to use silencers on the guns in Montana, and even to use the carcasses of dead wolves, or even the puppies of wolves, to attract the family back into the traps, using the social ability of this animal, the attributes of this animal, to actually wipe them out. And this is not about putting a trophy on the wall. This is about getting rid of a species.
Well, this,
what's even more outrageous is that, you know, because this was snuck through as a rider in the budget bill, it was the first time in the history of the Endangered Species Act that a decision to take an animal off the list was done by politicians and not scientists, which now sets a precedent for any creature on the Endangered Species Act.
Yeah, this is why I'm so outraged about this, because it continues to happen. You were online when we were talking about the Monsanto Protection Act, and it kind of went through in the same way. It's now we don't even have the guts to tell the American people what we're going to do. Our Congress people do not have the guts to tell the American people what they're going to do anymore because they're afraid the American people will say no. So they just sneak things in, and then you wake up one morning and, oh, my goodness, you can't sue Monsanto anymore. Oh, my goodness, you know all those wolves that we finally got back into the wilds in the American West? We just killed most of them because the ranchers don't like having wolves there because they,
It's inconvenient.
It's inconvenient, right. Yeah. And as you point out in your book, and the genius of your book is that you don't start with this. You start with, here's what we did. We went out there and we lived in the wild with these wolves. We raised them. We actually created a pack. And then you talk about the social aspect of the wolves and how they're like family and how in some regards they're not really that different from human beings. And then you go into and say, and now look what we've done to those social animals in the time since we were out there raising them. I'll tell you what, let's talk a little bit about your experience back in the early 90s. How did you get the idea of, and I know it probably stemmed from your work, Jim, as a nature photographer, but you wanted to get close to wolves, I understand.
Right. Wolves are very afraid of people. And if you see a wolf in the wild, they see you way before you see them. They're impacted by your presence, and they change their natural behavior. We wanted to study the social behavior of wolves, how they got along as a family. And so we raised pups from the moment they opened their eyes and created a pack and camped with them for 6 years in the mountains of Idaho, where we made documentaries for television and wrote books about them. What we really saw was an animal that cared about each other. A mountain lion killed one of the pack members, and the pack mourned for about 6 weeks. They stopped playing. They stopped howling the way they normally did. Their behavior was impacted by the loss of this omega wolf that always instigated play. But there's also another story to the wolf. As bringing them back, we found that ecosystems have improved in Yellowstone, where they're studied. And the elk population in Yellowstone was way overpopulated with elk. And the Park Service was killing wolf elk at night just to protect the resources. So having wolves back drove the elk up into higher ground to other places where they felt safe from the wolves. And now, because they're out of the riparian area along the rivers and streams where they felt safe because there weren't any wolves, the vegetation has come back. And it's sheltered the water and made the water cooler. There are more trout, and they're bigger trout, and there are more beavers, there are more songbirds along the creeks. The coyote population, which was way overpopulated, has been cut in half, and this has brought back rodents, which help birds of prey. So they really have a place in the ecosystem.
You know, I was talking last year on this program about coyotes in the Chicago area, and obviously there's a lot of urban coyotes, many more than we ever suspect. I have a feeling that people lump wolves and coyotes into the same category. How is it that they're different?
Well, they're very, very different animals. I mean, they're both canids, obviously, but wolves are more family animals, pack animals. You have a pack of wolves consists of mother, father, siblings, aunts, uncles. It's an extended family. Where coyotes generally live in much smaller groups of parents, and then you have the most current offspring, and then the offspring from the year before, which are starting to move on. Another big difference between wolves and coyotes, which made wolves so easy to eliminate in the early part of the 20th century, was the fact that they, since they are so socially bonded, if they know a pack member is in danger, they will go in and try to help that pack member, where coyotes will just flee the scene. You know, so we've been using that social bond that they have with each other, that, that family bond, against them. So, you know, and wolves and coyotes also look different, but that's very hard to, it's very hard to see unless you really know wolves and you really know coyotes. Actually, we were in the Chicago area last week, and someone was saying, oh, I saw a wolf in downtown Chicago. And it's like, no, it wasn't a wolf. it was a coyote. So, wolves have more rounded ears. Coyotes are a little more pointed. Coyotes have a more pointed snout, where wolves have a little bit more rounded snout. And there's also a size difference, but it can be hard to tell unless you're used to seeing them a lot.
And you're pointing out part of the problem is our ignorance. Is our ignorance of these animals, our ignorance of what they do. Part of what you do in the book is attempt to debunk a lot of the myths about wolves, such as that they're dangerous to people. You say over the past 100 years in North America. Now listen to this, folks. The past 100 years in North America, there have been only 2 cases in which wild wolves reportedly killed a human being, and that's reportedly. And to put this statistic in contrast, also in North America, bears have killed at least 35 people since 2000. That's 13 years. And since 1990, cougars have killed 9. In the United States, domestic dogs kill approximately 30 people every year. And the wolves have killed maybe 2 in 100 years. That's just an amazing statistic.
Yeah.
Well, there's just an intolerance of having this animal back. There's all the myths of Little Red Riding Hood and Three Little Pigs, and now we have the new misinformation that's out there that wolves are supersized and they kill for sport. These things are all just made up. It's not true.
So what about that myth about that the ranchers have, that they're killing their cattle and sheep and they can't possibly stay in business because the wolves are wreaking havoc?
Well, it's interesting. Since the reintroduction of wolves, livestock predation has turned out to be far less than anyone ever could have predicted. It's less than 2% of all livestock predation are attributed to wolves. Coyotes, weather, birthing conditions, domestic dogs, and other predators kill more livestock than wolves do. And, in some cases, ranchers are compensated for the loss of their livestock. And it's interesting. Our nonprofit has a large advisory board of ranchers, hunters, and biologists, people in economic aspects, and we have, we work with ranchers who have specifically had problems with particular packs of wolves predating on their livestock, and rather than having them kill the wolves, we've gotten these ranchers just to change their habits, going back to methods that they used 100 years ago when ranchers were ranching with predators. And just by altering simple things, they have been able to stop the predation from wolves and other predators. Simple things, by just keeping cow-calf pairs together longer, or by knowing where the den sites are and keeping your livestock away from those den sites. And it's important to know that most of these occurrences are happening not on private land, but on public land, land that we all own. So, we need to figure out ways to get along with this animal that lives on our public land as well.
That's Jamie Dutcher. Jim is also on the line. They are the authors of a new book called The Hidden Life of Wolves. It's a beautiful book, wonderful photographs, and many of those photographs are at the Field Museum exhibit. Is that correct?
Yes, they are, yeah.
And that runs through July 7th of this year. And I've got the link to my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. I need to take a short break. We'll continue this conversation when we come back. I want to talk about Well, I got lots to talk about. I mean, I can just go and do a rant, but I don't want to do that. I'll let you guys do that. Excuse me. But I want to talk about your experience in living with wolves. See, before the show, we realized that I was raised with wolves, and Rob here in the studio says he dances with wolves. But you guys, you guys actually, and you hear those jokes a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
We do, but it's fine.
Oh, well, sorry about that. I got to come up with something original here that you haven't heard before. we'll talk about your experience there and about wolves in the Midwest, maybe a little bit. And I have to remind folks, if you're listening to the show and you have access to my website, on the homepage, MikeNovak.net, MikeNovak.net, there's a short video about the book Hidden Life of Wolves and Living with Wolves, and you get to see Jim and Jamie and their experiences with the cameras rolling and the wolves in their sawtooth wilderness camp that they where they lived for about 6 years. I got to ask you before we break. No, you know what? Let me break, and then I'll get to it, because let's do this right.
Okay.
And we will be right back. Happy Easter, everybody. I bet a lot of you are smiling today because the weather around Chicago has been real nice the past few days. Oh, you silly people. Don't you know that Mother Nature always wins? That's why you need a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. At the very least, for something to read until the weather gets good enough to work in the garden again. You might have heard of the term pocket parks. In the March-April issue, there's a story about a pocket prairie that has been created at the corner of Wilmette and Crawford Avenues in Wilmette. It is the work of Charlotte Edelman, who has been on this very show and who converted a grass-covered detention basin into a small but vibrant prairie. Read the story and you'll find out how she did it. Then there's my column on the inside back page. The writer has been on this very show, too. In fact, he's in the studio right now. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
And I got to say, I am very happy to have Bonnie Plants on the show this season. One of the cool things they did, and you'll appreciate this, Rob, they donated a number of plants to the Peterson Garden Projects.
Good for them. Yeah, I saw some of those plants yesterday. I was up at PGP.
And I don't know if they're probably using them in their gardens, but they used them at the Flower and Garden Show in their exhibit there. So that's very, very cool. And Bonnie Plants is a proud sponsor now of the Mike Novak Show. Dr. Earth's Pot of Gold all-purpose potting soil is 100% organic, and it's also MycoApply certified, which guarantees that mycorrhizae are in the soil. Use in outdoor and indoor pots and containers or as a soil amendment for trees, shrubs, bare root planting, flowers and vegetables, mulching and seed cover. For more on Dr. Earth, a leader in ethical organics, go to drearth.com where you can find an independent dealer near you and connect with them on Facebook and Twitter for organic updates. Dr. Your Earth with Dr. Earth.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the Greenest Magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com.
If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. As we head into the growing season, it's important to know that there's hope for treating emerald ash borer. A group of university scientists and industry professionals called the Coalition for Urban Ash Tree Conservation says, despite availability of cost-effective treatments, many municipalities, property managers, and homeowners continue to rationalize tree removal as the only viable management strategy for EAB. This is based on erroneous beliefs that tree removal slows the spread of EAB or that treatment is not effective, economical, or environmentally sound. Current science supports conservation via treatment as a sensible and effective tool for managing healthy ash trees in urban settings. In many cases, tree conservation is economically and environmentally superior to tree removal. To make sure that your ash trees have the best possible chance against emerald ash borer, invite the certified arborist at The Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. An oldie but a goodie. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. On the line, I have Jim and Jamie Dutcher, who have written a book called The Hidden Life of Wolves. Their exhibit, Living with Wolves, just opened at the Field Museum. It runs through July 7th, so I think you want to go by. If you go to my website, you're going to see just a few of the photos that they have from the book. Jim and Jamie, let's talk a little bit. And as a start, let me tell you something that Rob said here in the studio before the show today. I'm going to use you, Rob, as an example of.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He was looking at the book and he was looking at pictures of you guys being kissed by the wolves in the morning. Yeah. And he said, I would never do that. I don't know. It looked pretty cute, and you can see some of that on the video that's on my website, MikeNovak.net. What was that like, and why did that happen?
Well, wolves are very social animals, and we had this enclosure that we built on the edge of wilderness and then camped inside it, and we raised these wolves as puppies, and we built a bond of trust with them. Now, they'd come up to us, and they'd sniff us, and they'd even lick our faces for a moment or two as we did this, because this is how wolves greet each other. We see this all the time because we camped in amongst them, and we'd get up in the morning and the pack would be laying around our camp. We had to put up a little chain link around our camp so they wouldn't steal our shoes and such, because they're very curious animals. But one wolf would get up and go over to the alpha, lick his face, and then go on his way, and they all did that every morning. So that's what they would do with us. It was just for a moment or two, but they weren't a danger to us at all. They were socialized to us by the fact that we raised them from the moment they opened their eyes.
But it's really important for the audience to know that in no way were these animals pets. You couldn't ask them to come. You couldn't get them to do anything. All behavior studies that have been done on wolves have to be done in captivity, and it's usually done in enclosures of 1 to 3 acres. And we had the largest enclosure in the world, 25 acres. And, you know, if you were fortunate enough to find a pack of wolves in the wild that you were able to habituate your cameras to, the next time you point something at them, it might not be a camera. It could be a gun. So, you know, this was a way to keep wolves in the wild safe. So, you know, we just let everything unfold and let the wolves just be wolves.
But don't you still inadvertently make them a little less sensitive to humans just by having been there and having interacted with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one thing that they lost that they would need to survive in the wild was fear of humans. And that's really just, you know, the way it had to be done, and we knew it was going to have to be done that way. But we weren't, you know, we weren't trying to observe them, you know, hunting for, you know, traveling for hundreds of miles or, you know, bringing down large game. And that, you know, unfortunately is the one trade-off. But, you know, we believe that everything we captured was really right on, according to other, you know, biologists and scientists. And, you know, a lot of people would come to our enclosure and go, wow, you know, I always thought that happened, but I can't believe I'm really seeing it. So, you know, it really gave us an intimate look into their social life.
When you started this pack, and I say that advisedly because you did bring in pups. Let's talk a little bit about where you got those pups. What was the gene pool like?
There was a woman up in Montana that acquired a pack of wolves from the Navy in Alaska. There was a pack up there that was habituated, and they were experimenting with tranquilizer drugs, and the project was over. The Navy was finished, and she acquired these wolves, and then she had seen a film that I had made on mountain lions and thought that we could do some good for wolves if she gave us puppies. So that's how we acquired the pups.
And then you raised those, and then you brought in more puppies. Was that from a different gene pool?
From different parents from that same pack up in Montana.
Yeah. Now, the reason I ask is because one of the things you mentioned in the book is that for isolated packs and in confined packs like Isle Royale in northern Michigan, those wolves are beginning to show the damage of inbreeding, aren't they?
Right. They, you know, wolves crossed over to Isle Royale during a particularly cold winter when an ice bridge was formed. And that pack, you know, thrived on the island for quite a while. But because there have been no other wolves coming over to there, it just hasn't been cold enough. The population has been isolated, and they're finding, I think, bone deformities and other problems. And that's really what we could be looking at in the western United States. By isolating the wolves that we've reintroduced into these tiny islands, like in Yellowstone National Park and then in very few areas, and not allowing them to be able to find each other, you know, for dispersers to be able to start new packs, we're really creating a recipe for disaster. There's no way the gene pool can survive.
Well, how do we undo the damage that was done by taking... Obviously, they should still be on the endangered species list, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, especially because they're killing them all. Yeah, there's, you know, to get an idea, we have 550 wolves in Idaho. We have 50,000 coyotes, and we have 20,000 bears, and about 2,000 to 3,000 cougars. But we can't tolerate 550 wolves.
That's just insane. Yeah. You know, actually, I'm kind of surprised that ranchers know the difference between a wolf and a coyote.
They don't.
That being said, how is it then that coyotes can breed so well and wolves can't?
Well, as I mentioned before, you know, coyotes are much more survivalists, I guess you could say, than wolves are. And it's been so hard for people, you know, who've tried to reduce populations of coyotes because, you know, coyotes, if they see a bad situation going on, if a den is, you know, if people have invaded a coyote den or, you know, the coyote parents will leave. They'll leave and they'll start somewhere else. Wolves are different. They will come in and they will defend the pups. They will do everything they can to protect them. And that's what makes them so easy to kill. Because they won't just run off. They won't leave their family members behind.
One of the techniques in killing a pack of wolves had been to take fish hooks and bait them and put them in a ring of cable and throw it down a den, and the pups would digest these hooks, and then you haul the pups up screaming and tie them to a tree and stand back, and of course the pack will come back to try to protect their offspring, and then you shoot the pack.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's not different today. Now we're going to use silencers because the bang of the rifle always scared the rest of the wolves away. Well, now we're going to use silencers.
All right. So we have, you know, your hill is incredibly steep, the hill that you have to climb.
Yeah,
not only do you have to undo the stupid legislation that got sneaked in because our legislators are cowards and craven, but you have to then try to change hearts and minds, which is to say you need to understand how wolves behave. And once you do, you will not treat them this way.
That's right. And that's what we do. We travel around the country giving presentations. But this book with the National Geographic spells out everything we've been trying to say with other scientists and ethical hunters and ranchers contributing to our work, and it's an educational tool. I think when people understand that wolves aren't these evil animals that are a danger to us, and that they really have a place in the ecosystem, people change their attitudes, especially children. Children get it. They love these animals. They got recycling. They taught their parents to do it, and that's our hope. And our organization is called Living with Wolves.
You know, I was just going to say, kids understand that that gay people are human beings too and need rights. It's you know, the next generation gets a lot more than the generation before them.
They do, and you know, it's really interesting, Mike. Jim and I speak all over the country. We do big multimedia presentations, and I can't tell you how many times where we've had, you know, people in the audience who are skeptical, which is great. We love that. And, you know, especially hunters. And we've had, I can't tell you how many hunters have come up to us after a presentation saying, oh, you know, they were dragged there by their kids or their wife or whatever. And I said, you know, I've always wanted to kill a wolf. And they said, I can't do it now. I didn't know they were family animals.
When our first film came out, a hunter from Minnesota wrote us a letter saying, I watched your film, I always hunt, and I hear wolves, and they scare me. But now I know differently. I watched when you moved the pack to the Nez Perce Reservation, and the alpha went back for his brother to coax him out of the crate that we moved him in. And this camaraderie that they have, this caring attitude, he said, I didn't realize it. He said, I'm getting two new hunting dogs, and I'm going to name them after members of your pack. Thank you for explaining this to me.
Let's take a couple of seconds and explain that, because I read the book and I know what you're talking about, but you keep throwing around alpha and omega. I don't think our the average listener here in Chicago understands what you're talking about. Describe what the alpha pack member is and the omega and how they interact or don't.
In a pack or a family of wolves, you have the leaders, and they're usually the alpha male and the alpha female. They're just more, they just have that leadership ability to them. It's sort of like on a playground as children, there's always one child that sort of takes that leadership. And then there's on the opposite side of the spectrum, you have a child who's very timid or shy. Well, that's the omega in the wolf pack. And in the middle, there are mid-ranking wolves. Only the alphas mate, and they mate once a year. Sometimes when conditions are poor and there aren't any prey to prey upon, they won't mate at all. If there are occasions where the alpha will let the beta wolf mate because there's so much prey. The beta wolf is the second in command. In our case, our wolf that was what we thought was the beta wolf, he befriended the omega, and the omega was always picked upon. He was forced to eat last, and they had this friendship, and they would travel around together, and if there were fights and the omega was being picked on, the beta wolf would interject himself, break up the fight, body check the other, and just you know, change the subject.
Wow. You know, yeah. In Chicago, we have our own alpha. That's Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
But that's a different story.
Yeah. Without that family.
Yeah, with who knows?
Does he body check?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he does.
Politicians could learn a lot by watching wolves.
You know, they could, and not just about being alpha, but being beta, about being omega, about getting along.
Caring for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And that's what I got out of this. Is that these creatures are worthy of our respect and worthy of our admiration. And this, as you point out, and anybody knows this, and you've mentioned this already, we have this instinctive, almost instinctive fear because of the ignorance that has spread over millennia, basically.
Right, right. And, you know, we talk about this in the book. You know, early man developed a relationship with wolves. And they probably watched wolves to hone their own hunting and family skills. And the most social of the wolves and the most social, early humans got together. And you know, we eventually created the dog. The dog was our first, very, very first domesticated animal. So the wolf actually enabled us to turn it into the dog, and then allowed us to domesticate other livestock, and really evolved with us. We altered each other's evolution, and everything seemed to be going great. We all worked together until humans became more pastoral, started raising their own livestock, and started looking at wolves as competition rather than partners. And that's where things started to go awry.
And then they really went south in the United States in the 19th century, where we wiped out the bison, we exterminated the passenger pigeon, mm-hmm. We tried to exterminate the wolf.
And Native Americans.
And, good point.
Yeah, it was manifest destiny.
Yeah.
You know.
And basically white guys with guns.
Yeah. Yeah, conquer the land and make it pure for agriculture, and farming.
So, Mike, this hunting season that we have here in the West, now that we have wolves back, because before reintroduction we were down to maybe 15 to 50 wolves in these three Western states, but now we brought that population of reintroduced wolves from 66 to about 1700, and as I pointed out, we've killed about 1,000 of them. But killing wolves is sort of a it just doesn't work because it makes the situation worse. And let me explain. If you had a pack of 12 wolves and you hunted them, you would probably be able to kill 4 of them, and the rest of them wouldn't hang out as a pack. They would be so traumatized that they would split up in twos and threes. They wouldn't be able to bring down their natural prey because they don't have the manpower anymore. And so these young adolescent dysfunctional youngsters would go after livestock instead of their natural prey. So it's really making everything worse.
I want to bring up one thing before I let you go. And by the way, that's Jim and Jamie Dutcher. They are the authors of The Hidden Life of Wolves, published by National Geographic. Thank you for bringing up that before. Let's give them kudos for that. There's a foreword by Robert Redford. One of my listeners says that more than 150 wolves were killed in Wisconsin last season alone, most by trapping. What about wolves in the Midwest? Are you familiar with that situation?
We are familiar, not, of course, as familiar as our situation out here in the West, but it's really a shame what's going on in the Great Lakes area. You know, you all have had a population of wolves that really was doing quite well, and after wolves were taken off the endangered species list in the West, the Midwest filed suit as well to have their wolves taken off. And, you know, as far as I know, predation on livestock is incredibly, tiny in your area, pretty much non-existent, and you still have a huge overpopulation of deer. And wolves, you know, the wolves you all have not been able to make a dent in the deer population. So now to be hunting your wolves, and you know, you really are, you're not doing a service to the overpopulation of deer, and then you're not also not doing a service to livestock producers in the area, because you, as Jim said, you could be creating problems that weren't there before.
It is sad. So what's the next step? How do we get them back on the endangered species list?
Well, the United States Humane Society is pushing to stop the trapping in Michigan, which is a start there, and it's a lot of lobbying. It's a lot of since management is now in the hands of the states, it is really up to all of us to just be incredibly loud and vocal, because what people have to remember is that wolves were brought back with all of our tax dollars. Wolves belong to all Americans, and for the most part, wolves live on federal land. No matter what state they're in, they're pretty much on federal land, and the states don't want you to realize that. So we all have a stake in this. We all have a voice, and you know, contacting your senators, your congressmen, and also you know. Department of Interior officials, and really be vocal, because the people that don't want wolves are a very loud minority. Most people do want wolves, but they just haven't been loud enough.
And I have to say that, you know, even if it's going back to states, I don't expect enlightened policy out of the state of Michigan.
Oh, no.
I don't expect it out of the state of Wisconsin. And so my feeling is I think we got to go back to the feds.
And we've got to get wolves back on the endangered species.
Yeah. Jim and Jamie Dutcher, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much. Again, the name of the book is The Hidden Lives, Life of Wolves. And you can go to see their exhibit at the Field Museum that is called Living with Wolves. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. I'm going to put this on the podcast, so we'll have a dedicated podcast to this conversation. And I hope we get to talk again real soon.
Great. And Mike, if people need to find their own representatives, they can go to our website, livingwithwolves.org, and we've got a whole section on how you can write a letter and who to contact.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. You guys have a great Sunday now.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Mother Nature, we're growing fur here. Are you done yet with winter? One good thing about the slow start to spring, though, is that we have the chance to get a jump on controlling insects by using Bonide's all-season spray oil now. It stops garden insects before they hatch. Early spraying smothers most insect eggs left behind by last year's plant-munching insects. Bonide's all-season spray oil will destroy those eggs in early spring, and if used throughout the season, will control all stages of insects. Bonide all-season spray oil is recommended for use on shade trees, fruit trees, shrubs, roses, and ornamental plants. It's easy to use, and it's all natural. You can find Bonide's All Seasons Oil at Countryside Flower Shop in Crystal Lake, Illinois, Kinnish Village Florist in Palatine, Illinois, Mattson Ace Hardware in Coal City, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. And don't forget to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app on your iPhone or Droid.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
There's a lot going on at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois and St. John, Indiana. Yes, they have beautiful fresh annuals, many of which they grow themselves. And there are trees, shrubs, perennials, roses, and more. But have you taken your four-legged friends to Groomingdale's yet? Groomingdale's is your one-stop pet shop located within Alsip Home and Nursery. They're there Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and Sundays, 10 to 5, to provide you the best of every season for all of your pet necessities. There is a Groomingdale's Pet Salon in the pet department of both Alsip Home and Nursery locations. And starting on April 6th, certified trainer Beth Zestzutko of Perfect Pooch Positive Reinforcement Dog Training will be starting six-week classes for small and large breed puppies. For seminar info, registration, and questions, call Alsip at 815-469-1044. Alsip Home and Nursery is located in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Wow. Three-point landing. I noticed that I asked for Facebook likes. I immediately lost a couple, then got a couple back.
All right.
That's the way it seems to work here. I don't know. Come on, like me on Facebook, darn it. Otherwise, I won't wish you a happy Easter. Oh, okay, I will probably do. Get the mics ready. You guys ready for this?
Ready.
Go, Greenor.
Go.
Go home.
Almost got you.